two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatty-dee-bop, shabadooey.
Hello.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Mike.
And welcome
so
to
polite.
Another episode of Pork
Therapy. Can't even stand it.
Pork Therapy. You're too polite, Mike.
No, I didn't say you're too polite. It was almost like one of those, like, you're so cute, I can't even stand it, you know?
You know, this is a total tangent, but I remember back in high school, my girlfriend said, I love you more than words can say. And that bugged the hell out of me because words were saying.
She just used words to say that. It's true, Mike. A logical person cannot ignore something like that.
Oh, man.
Anyway, well, I'm glad that we're here doing the show together. And I always have fun doing the pork therapy with you. And if our listeners would like to learn more about us, they can go to our website, which is porktherapy.com, right?
P-O-R-C-therapy.com.
Yes, indeed. We sound like a broken record. We say that every time. But it's so important because people might be tuning into the Liberty Radio Network and hearing our show for the first time.
That's true, and it's good radio etiquette. Even though we're a podcast, we're also on the Liberty Radio Network.
Indeed, which you can find at lrn.fm.
But there's also benefits to being reminded to go to our website. You can do everything related to pork therapy there. You can join our female list. You can listen to our past shows.
you can find out what our female list is.
Right. You can rate our shows. You can comment on our shows. You can tweet. You can see our categories. There's so much you can do on our site.
Absolutely, yeah. And we have a little neat widget that plays all our shows for you. So.
Yeah, occasionally we talk about listener feedback on the episodes, as we're about to do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we don't talk about some of the feedback we get, which is like the comment threads on our episodes. So you can go there and see what people are saying.
Yes, always an interesting time.
Yes.
I very much enjoy the comments.
But so, we do have listener feedback this time.
We do, yes. Before we get to this episode's question, which I believe we actually have a special guest waiting on the line very patiently. But before we get to this episode's question, which we do not yet know.
That's right. We know the guest, but we don't know the question yet.
Exactly. And part of the fun and spontaneity of the show. But we had some feedback on our germ aggression episode, which was number 106. And we will put a link to that in our show notes.
Right.
And the feedback was related to me in person. And it was that on the show, we were talking about our germs aggression. Basically, when people are sick, what's their responsibility for telling others and taking precautions to minimize the spread of the disease? And we said on the show that intent matters in this case, because what we were saying was that it's kind of different if someone coughs all over you on purpose, trying to get you sick, or, you know, poisons your food with some kind of virus, you know, sneezes in your taco or whatever.
That sounds like a euphemism for something, but I don't know what. Anyway.
Something horrible. But if someone does something maliciously rather than, you know, doesn't know that they're sick,
yep,
and accidentally slobbers on your microphone and transmits a cold virus to you or something like that,
all
then
right,
those are kind of different. And now that I'm saying, they don't sound different at all, but
well, actually they are different, but they're not different. So go on with the feedback.
Mm. So the feedback was that we were saying intent matters, and the feedback giver, that's a new
one. Peanut.
The peanut was saying that intent doesn't matter, and that it's still aggression. If you run someone over with a car by accident, you've still run them over. You've still committed aggression. Now, he did say that the intent may matter because it may affect what the victim wants for restitution.
Exactly.
And that what you were going to say, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the
stole your thunder. Sorry.
My working definition of aggression is the initiation of force.
Force. Yep.
And so that can be an accident. You can accidentally bump into someone or run them over with your car or cough on them. and give him a germ, right?
Yes.
So that's the initiation of force, but it was by accident. So while I didn't realize that during the show, this feedback made me realize technically intent doesn't matter for aggression.
Yeah.
But then you're right. You've aggressed against someone. Now, if you, I mean, even in this ridiculous law society that we're in, mm-hmm. if you run someone over and kill them with a car by accident, you'll get a lesser punishment probably than if you did it intentionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the never problem, mind how ridiculous law is. Go ahead.
Well, the problem is proving intent.
Right, right.
How do you know? You can't really get inside someone's right. head and know what they were thinking.
Well, there's so many other problems with law.
Oh, yes, but, of course.
But even in a free society, I suspect that intent will matter towards restitution, as Peanut said. So
yes.
If I accidentally cough near you and you get a cold or whatever,
mm-hmm.
One month, and then next year during flu season, I look at you and I spit in your face and cough and rub my spittle all over your face and then you get sick.
Ew.
You're going to have a different reaction or different expectation of what I need to do to restitute you, right?
Yes. Yes.
In both of those situations.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it was a good example, Mike, that you used, but it might be more relevant for something like a more debilitating virus that causes more medical costs.
Okay.
For instance, say that someone intentionally injects another person with a syringe full of HIV infected blood, which actually that did happen. Like actually there was a news story about a man, I think in Australia, who did this to his wife to intentionally infect her with HIV because he was, I don't know, he wanted to get revenge on her for something, for some reason.
And sick, but okay.
And very sick. Yes. And there's a difference between something like that where it's clearly malicious and intentional than, I don't know how you could give someone HIV by accident, but let's say
you didn't know you had it yet.
You didn't know you had it, or let's say that you were in someone was in a brutal car accident
who had
HIV, and someone, you know, the paramedic is trying to save them and accidentally gets splashed with
or
their
what
blood.
About just the blood transfusions?
Blood transfusions.
You're donating blood, and the blood taker doesn't know, and you don't know, and
right.
So it could certainly. In fact, it's happened accidentally, just like it happened intentionally with that guy with the syringe.
Sure. Sure. So, but in a free society where there was not a government monopoly on justice services.
Justice.
Yeah. Quote unquote. I mean, we call the so-called justice system like the injustice system.
Yeah.
That's more like it in today's society because right now victims don't get restitution from the courts. It's just that
courts get money
people who are deemed to be criminals have to pay the state. And so the victim is victimized twice because they're forced to pay for everything about the legal system.
Like by taxes, which is force.
Exactly.
They get victimized three times because they pay. They get victimized, then they pay to put that person in jail, and they're forced to pay for the whole process, the judge and the mm-hmm. jury and the trial and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and then in that whole process, the victim never sees any restitution. They never get the opportunity to be made whole by the perpetrator, and that's really all that matters. You don't need an intervening state. The state doesn't need to get money because Alice hurts Bob.
There you go.
Alice needs to give Bob money.
If that's what Bob wants to be made whole.
If that's what Bob wants to be made whole. Exactly.
And I guess the point of the peanut was Bob might want money to be made whole if Alice intentionally injected him with a virus.
Yeah.
And he might not care for any restitution if she accidentally injected him. You know,
yeah.
Or accidentally infected him.
Right. Or it's possible that he, like you said, Mike, it's possible that he wouldn't care.
So thank you for the feedback, Peanut.
Yeah, I have to say I'm changing my position on this. I do think intent does not matter when it comes to aggression, but it may matter when we're talking about what the victim wants for restitution.
Right.
So thank you, Peanut.
Woohoo!
A very intelligent Peanut.
All right.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
What is it good for? Absolutely. Say it again.
Hello?
Hey, Brett.
How you doing?
Just fine.
Are you ready to record?
Yep.
Sweet.
So, yes, we would like some background. Because actually, we don't know the question yet.
Right. I was basically, this was, I can't remember how long ago. I think it was maybe, I don't know, it was a couple months ago or something. I guess it really doesn't matter exactly how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was basically, you know, it had to do with, you know, with my best friend, you know, and his girlfriend. We were talking about stuff, and yeah, I had gone over to his house, you know, and I know he has, I had known before, you know, he likes to look at porn, you know,
okay.
Most, like most guys, but his girlfriend hates it. So he tries to keep it. He tries to hide the fact that he, you know, that he has, you know, that he keeps porn.
Mm.
And so he would, yeah, he would, yeah, he would, I think he would download, he would do something. He would hide it on his BlackBerry or something, you know?
Okay. What? Lousy way to look at porn on a tiny little screen. But anyway, go on.
And it requires one hand. You know, you should have both hands free.
Yeah, but you know, I went over to his house one night, you know, and his girlfriend lives with him. I walked in, you know, his girlfriend's mom and dad were there, and I guess right before I had gotten there, his girlfriend had found out that he had been hiding porn on his phone.
Oy. Ooh, yikes!
And I guess what she had done is she had grabbed his phone away from him, and was still and told his mom and her mom and dad about it. Said, look, you know. He keeps it on here. This is what happened. Da, da, da. You know, I walked in. I could just feel that something had happened right before I got there. And finally, you know, after her parents left, and, you know, she went back in the bedroom. Me, him, and one of our other friends were just sitting there talking, and he was telling us kind of what happened, mm-hmm. you know, and he snapped at her and said, you know, that's my phone. Don't touch it. You know, it just, you know, he gave her an ultimatum, you know, all this, and, you know, don't ever do that again or I'm going to leave you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, he told me, he said, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I told him, I said, no, I said, that's exactly what I would have done in your situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't, and, you know, I would just, I get brazen sometimes when I start talking about stuff like that. And we, you know, we had a big, long discussion about, you know, what is right to do and what's wrong to do in that type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
My question was really, you know, the best way to handle that kind of discussion about, you know, how, you know, have your boundaries, you know, how to have, tell someone, you know, teach them how to, you know, have your boundaries in your relationship. You know, you have your stuff they're not allowed to use or touch or something. They have their stuff you keep away from, you know, and how, you know, I was trying to tell them, you know, you need to, you know, you can put your foot down, you know, have her respect, you know, respect your stuff. Don't just snap your phone away from you and be like, hey, look what he does on his phone, da, da, da.
Yeah. So, okay, you want to hear my take on it? Mike, do you have any thoughts on this?
Oh, I have thoughts, but you have thoughts. You started talking, so go for it.
Okay. The first thing I thought was there's an underlying problem here to begin with, and that is like the girlfriend not liking or not tolerating him looking at porn and him hiding the porn. Perhaps the girlfriend felt threatened or intimidated, as many women do, because porn can be somewhat phantasmagorical compared to real life sex in some instances, right? And so I think some women probably feel a little bit threatened by that and may even view it as some kind of an infidelity. However, there are a lot of other people who do not view looking at porn or any kind of fantasy sex life as an infidelity. And so I think what they should have done in the first place is had a talk about that. And he should have explained, look, you know, I'm going to do this. I enjoy looking at porn. It doesn't mean I love you less. It doesn't mean I don't want to be with you. It doesn't mean I expect you to do everything that I'm seeing in this porn. It's just something that I enjoy and it's a part of my life. What do you think about that?
You got any thoughts, Brett?
That's a good way to, you know, to go about it, you know, because I always tell people, you know, is that somebody, because, you know, most guys like porn, you know, I'm not going to lie, myself included. You know, and sure. I try and tell a woman, you know, I'm straight up with them, you know, I don't lie to women, you know, if it's somebody I want to get in a relationship with, you know, if they got a problem with something I like or something I do, you know, I'm just going to be like, well, you're either going to have to, you know, to learn to cope with it or, you know, this then not work because, you know, I'm not a big fan of changing who you are just to,
right.
to get with somebody, you know, and that's what I was trying to tell my friend. You know,
yes.
You like porn. That's who you are. You shouldn't have to give that up just because she doesn't like it.
Yes, I completely agree with maintaining your individualism and not changing who you are because of a relationship and not allowing yourself to be controlled or manipulated in a relationship. However, I think maybe a more successful approach than saying, well, you're going to have to get used to this because that's what I do, is trying to understand why the partner doesn't like the porn, you know, and maybe
right.
trying to get to the root of it. Like maybe she does feel insecure. And in order to help that insecurity, the guy could have explained that, yeah, you know, this is not cheating. This is, doesn't make me love you less. In fact, it'll probably make our sex life better. Right.
Yeah, actually.
It can. Yeah.
I think there are two issues here, though. One is what Stephanie has been talking about, and the other is the private property issue. So you said something, Brett, and that was that the guy, your friends said, hey, it's my phone, you don't have a right to look at it, to his girlfriend. Now, do you happen to know if they in advance had, you know, discussed or agreed upon, you know, certain things like, this phone is mine, you don't get to use it, or this computer's mine, or this is my room, you don't get to enter it, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Did they, like, explicitly have an agreement as to not use certain of each other's property?
That's a good question. To my knowledge, I don't think they ever talked about that. If they did and he told me about it, I just don't remember. But
right. Mm-hmm. That's probably the case because, in my opinion, most people don't explicitly talk about it. They just kind of, you know, a relationship forms and situations like communal property just kind of happen and they don't discuss and it can cause problems. But the reason I bring it up is because this is, I think, the second issue, and that is I agree with you in that it's his phone, and if he doesn't want her looking at it for using it for whatever reason, that's should be the way it is. Again, they should talk about it, and if she wants to use his phone or look at it or whatever, he should possibly find out why and then address the issue. But if he says, no, this is mine and it's not, you know, I don't want you using it, that's his stuff.
Right. I agree with you, Mike, and also there's another facet here. I think in this case, what the girlfriend did, grabbing the phone out of his hand and then showing it to her parents, was specifically meant to shame him. And I don't agree with that strategy. I think that shaming is not very productive. And also, conversely, what he did in response, which was to yell and, you know, his privacy was violated, basically. That was a huge violation of his privacy to grab his phone and then show the parents the porn. And he knew his privacy was violated. And she knew that.
So he's on the defensive and everyone's emotional and embarrassed and angry.
Yeah. And so it just doesn't lead to a good situation to begin with. And it's like, what does someone expect to accomplish when they grab their significant other's phone and see that there's porn on there and then show it to their parents? I mean, it's clearly something that's done in order to shame. And so probably something more productive would have been, you know, if she had somehow noticed that there was porn, and I don't think she should be snooping anyway. That's another issue. But if she had somehow found out about the porn, would be, you know, after the parents leave, hey, can we talk about something? I noticed there was some porn on your phone, and I wonder if we could talk about it. I'm kind of bothered by it. Something like that.
And in that case, probably some questions would be more in order than some statements. Like, why do you have porn, and why is it important to you, and why are you hiding it from me?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a good way. You know, that's, you know, a good thing to say to each other because, you know, I know in my situation, if that were to happen to me, I would have snapped too, you know, and I would have gave her the ultimatum too. So, you know, you can't just go grabbing my stuff. If you're going to do that again, you know, this isn't going to work out.
Yeah.
But that's why I figured, you know, I could pose the question to you guys because I know that I'm terrible with communicating. Yes, so when I get real passionate talking about something, I know my communication skills actually start to go down kind of.
Me too.
And so I know, you know, I was trying to explain to him, you know, what I would do in that situation or how, you know, what I would have done even before, way before that, you know, to make sure that she didn't even really act that way around him. And, you know, I know, but, you know, trying to communicate it to him, I know I wasn't really doing all that good of a job. Just, you know, kind of, I know I was, you know, coming off as an a-hole and everything, so...
Well, it can be so hard in a situation like that, especially if someone feels like their privacy has been violated. That's a huge deal because...
Privacy / trust.
Yes, privacy and trust. Absolutely, Mike. I mean, those are kind of these universal human needs that we talk about with nonviolent communication. And I think nonviolent communication can definitely apply to this situation because let's say that you're the guy whose phone just got grabbed and exposed to the parents and you're feeling really embarrassed. You say to the girlfriend, instead of, oh, if you ever do that, you know, this relationship is over. You can't be just touching my stuff. Don't, you know, all that kind of stuff that probably one would have the instinct to say. Instead of that, hey, I'm feeling really embarrassed right now because my trust was violated and my privacy was really threatened here. So,
and also something, a situation like that that's really potentially embarrassing or private or emotional really should probably be addressed without the parents there, without your friends there. You probably need to look at the environment and say, this is not the time and or place that we have this conversation. Let's either, you know, say goodbye to our friends, or let's put this conversation on hold until we're alone or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, another thing to add would be maybe even like after that occurs, the guy says that his privacy and trust were kind of jeopardized in that situation. Maybe to ask the girlfriend, were you feeling lonely because your need for open communication was not met because I was looking at something on my phone that you didn't know about, and then maybe go from there and see if that is how she's feeling. And if she's not, then she'll tell you, right? Or she should tell you. Yeah. I don't know, Brett, what are your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I completely understand why, you know, why women would get upset at the, you know, at their husbands or their boyfriends looking at porn. But, you know, it's still, and I can understand why, you know, they would lash out the way they do. It's just, you know, I always just try and say, you know, I always think, you know, maybe it's, you know, if you treat the woman a little better, you know, or at least, you know, make her feel a lot better about herself, she probably wouldn't care that much if she knows you're looking at porn. Sure. And everything, because she starts to feel like, you know, they would, you know, because I know the reason, you know, the reason he likes to look at porn, you know, even though he's in a relationship, you know, I won't give it out over the air, you know, respect his privacy and everything. But
does he have a specific thing that he's interested in that his wife or girlfriend doesn't have or doesn't meet that need for him?
Right. I mean, it's you know, the reason I like, you know, it's stuff, you know, it's stuff you don't usually, you know, stuff that doesn't usually happen in real life. So,
I see.
And all that, you know. But
yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe it's possible, I guess, that the girlfriend doesn't realize that that's the need being met, that he's fantasizing or he desires things that can't or won't happen in reality. And so that's not even a threat. She might not even know that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hell, maybe he's interested in some, like, maybe let's just use
maybe
a hypothetical example. Maybe he has like a foot fetish or something and he wants to watch foot fetish porn. And his wife says, well, that's great because I hate to have my feet touched and I don't even want anyone down there. So go ahead and do that all you want. And then I won't have to worry about it. And, you know, I mean, this kind of brings up another point, which is about jealousy, right? And the root causes of jealousy. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Brett, when you said that maybe if this woman felt more secure in the relationship, then she wouldn't feel as jealous. Because I think jealousy definitely stems from insecurity. And conversely, it can be alleviated by
communication
and honesty and openness and just really opening up those lines of dialogue. And with the knowledge that you can talk about anything with your partner comes this feeling of real security that just blows jealousy out of the water.
Yeah, because I know, you know, I had a girlfriend, you know, years ago, you know, that she just absolutely hated the fact that, you know, that I would look at porn. You know, she would just get so offended that, you know, why do you need to look at porn? But, you know, while we're together and stuff like that. You know, I would sneak it around. I would, you know, look at it while she was at work or something like that. You know, and we'd get in, you know, big fights, you know, if she would come home and catch that I had been sneaking around or stuff like that. And I knew that was pretty much exactly why she would do it, because she was so insecure about herself. And she felt like it was equivalent to cheating, you know, that I wanted those type of women and I didn't want her, and she didn't make her feel attractive and everything. So that's how I know, you know, that's how a lot of women, I think, you know, that's why they get so angry about it. They just don't know how to handle it or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And can I ask a question about that too? Were you looking at porn like instead of spending time with her, or were you just doing it when she wasn't around?
I was just doing it when she wasn't around. No, it wasn't in place of spending time with her.
Right. So in that case, it's not detracting from your time together. It's not like you're ignoring her to look at the porn. And in that case, I could see that it might be a problem, right? If there was a relationship where guy has a girlfriend, but all he wants to do is look at porn and never spend time with his girlfriend. Well, but for so, you know, if it's just kind of a hobby in the times when she's not there, I don't see that as a problem at all.
Yeah, I think, but this unknown right now is also settled by the communication that would have solved the first problem.
Yep.
So just if she asks questions and if he, you know, if they just talk about these things instead of assuming or hiding, then probably it would have been solved before it happened.
Yeah, I mean, hell, like maybe if they had had that initial conversation to begin with, they could have watched porn together and then it would have been kind of solved.
And in a fun way.
And in a fun way. Happy ending. So, is there anything else you want to talk about this, Brett?
Well, I guess nothing specific. I mean, just I did have other thoughts, as you know, as to why women, as you know, the type of women that do get upset about it. But
well, I would say type of people, because while it's probably more true in this society that men look at porn more and women get upset about it more, it does happen in the other gender direction.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Brett, thank you very much for the question. And
Hi, you're welcome.
I want to talk about real, just kind of a plug, but kind of a curiosity thing. Could you just talk about Cop Block real quick?
Yeah, I can say, you know, I figure a lot of your listeners probably do know about it already. But, yeah, it's a decentralized site. You know, nobody really is an official spokesperson for it. You know, just it's a group of writers. You know, we all have the same goal, holding the police accountable, you know, making sure, you know, that they, you know, we want to make sure they are held to the same, you know, standard of the law that we are. And we don't believe that they should get any special treatment just because they got, you know, a piece of plastic on their chest with a little number on it and something that says, you know, we work for the government and all that. And, you know, we just cover, you know, cover stories of, you know, police brutality, you know, other stuff, cops, you know, things, cops breaking the law, even when they're not off duty. Mm-hmm. Or even when they're off duty, you know, just lots of, we cover things the police do and how, you know, and try and just hit on the number one fact that they, that, you know, they get, are getting a lot of special treatment within the law, you know, thing treatment, you know, a lot of leaning feet towards them and not towards us, basically.
Yeah.
We're working on changing that.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I enjoy the site. And actually, for the listeners, Brett is like prolific on here.
Yeah.
He does a lot of posts and I always enjoy them.
We're going to link to Cop Block in the show notes.
Yes, we will.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it is so true about the special treatment that police get, you know.
It's amazing. I mean, here's a prime example. When a cop dies in, you know, he gets shot while, actually ever. You know,
ever.
While saving,
yeah.
Solving a crime or even just in his home from a stray bullet. If a cop dies, there's a freaking parade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How many other quote-unquote normal people do you know that get a parade when they die?
Yeah.
Nobody.
And then, and they also have it. It's always that the brothers and sisters of law enforcement.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's like that. That right there just shows that they, you know, they're a special group and we're not.
Right, that they're intentionally excluding all us low people.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Not to mention that there's a huge moral double standard too. I mean, in their job, they're often required to lie.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone lies to them,
it's illegal and they go to jail.
It's illegal and they go to jail. Yeah. In their job, they carry firearms, and in many states, they are the only ones who are allowed to carry firearms, and in many countries around the world.
Yeah. You can't carry a gun in the court, but the cop can. You know?
Right, right.
Of course, yeah.
Horrible.
And not to mention that their entire job is funded by taxation, which is theft. And
that's the one that really gets them going when you bring that up to them.
I'm sure it does.
I've had a few cops tell me they've actually told me that because they actually get taxes taken out of their check that they're basically working for free. I'm like, how do you come to that conclusion? I never will understand it.
Well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing what you do with Cop Block.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. And thanks for the question, Brett. This was a good question. I think this is like a really common issue that and I'm sorry to hear about that your friend you know, that your friend was embarrassed in front of his parent-in-laws and his girlfriend was also feeling bad that she caught him looking at the porn. So hopefully
I couldn't believe she did that when he told me about it. I know she's done a lot of things, but that's
are they still together?
Yes.
And how long ago was this?
How long ago did that incident happen?
Yeah, roughly.
Oh, it might have been like, I think maybe end of the summer or the beginning of the fall, so maybe 3, 4, 5 months ago.
So they, it was a conflict that they had, but they've either worked it out or ignored it, and they're still together.
I think they probably ignored it. They tend to just kind of, oh, we have a problem. We'll fight about it tonight, and then we'll just won't talk about it anymore.
Well, it's going to come back and bite them in that case.
Yeah, indeed. Maybe you could send them the show. All right, Brett.
All right, thanks a lot for the question.
We appreciate it.
No problem, guys.
All right, see ya.
So that was a cool question, huh, Mike?
Yes, that was very cool of him to call.
Yes, we definitely enjoyed that. And check out copblock.org. Copblock.org.
Yeah, if you're, or since it's an episode about porn, you could probably...
There's probably a bunch of other permutations of that, but we'll leave that up to your imagination. And if you want to find out more about us, go to our website, porktherapy.com.
And since it's a porn episode, it's P-O-R-K therapy.
No, it's actually P-O-R-C therapy. And that's pork as in porcupine. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Speaking of gutters, no, I'm just kidding.
And speaking of, if you really want an answer that comes from the gutter, you should email us. Email us at questions@porktherapy.com and call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4.
And check out our website for all of our past episodes and to rate our episodes and to comment on them.
And
thank you.
All kinds of multitudinous other features.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
And we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, 'cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatterly-dee-bop, shabadooey.